Okay, this year is dedicated memory of Rachle Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi. We're going to continue what we were doing last time about bringing children into the holidays, things that you could do to help them understand and validate the holidays and enjoy them. We're going to start with Yom Kippur. Okay, Yom Kippur is hard for young children. The reason why it's hard is that oftentimes mommy isn't as available as they would like her to be. They want her to be totally available, like it's any other day of the year. She's fasting, and that in and of itself may be difficult, and some women go to shul at least some of the time. So what we're going to talk about now is this, first of all, this age, babies and very young children, and Yom Kippur. So obviously children of this very young age don't understand what Yom Kippur is. The most you could try to get them to understand is that this is a Yom Tov, and that Hashem, who gives us everything, Hashem wants mommy to fast and to rest. Okay, so since they can't possibly understand at a very young age, I'm talking about till 3, 4 maximum, they can't understand sin, consequence, forgiveness, any of this, okay, except on a very primitive level, which may be so distorted that I'm not sure it's worth even bringing in. Okay, saying that everybody has to say slicha, to who, for what, it can be very confusing at this very young age. But doing what Hashem wants shouldn't be that confusing. So what you have to do to make this work is to prepare yourself with bribes for the kids. So what that means is, since you know you'll be less attentive than normally, again, because you'll be fasting, you might want to do some davening, you might even want to escape a little bit to shul and have someone else with them some of the time, you have to have bribes. So the same way there are other preparations that you make for Yom Kippur, you have to see that you have a machzor, you have to see that if you are planning to go to shul, you have a seat. If you're going to be lying down, that you have a bed. I feel like you have to have bribes. So it's a very good investment to buy whatever little games. It could even be a new ball. It doesn't have to be all that that expensive or elaborate. A couple of new games, some food goodies that you disperse pretty liberally, so that you could have Yom Kippur. Okay, let's move on to the next age in childhood, from 4 or so until 8. Now at this age, children can understand the concept of Yom Kippur. What's the concept that they could understand? All people invariably make mistakes. All mistakes could be fixed. There's a special way to fix it. The special way to fix it is called tshuva. Tshuva means going back. It means making it as though you didn't make the mistake. How do you do tshuva? So you have to admit that there's a mistake and be sorry that there's a mistake and not do it anymore. Kids that age could get it. And Hashem is so good that He erases the mistake. We can't do this. You could even show them that you can't do this. You could write on a page and you erase, and it doesn't look the same. It looks like the way a page looks when you erase pencil on it. You could say, we can't do it by itself. We can't make things the way they were before. But Hashem is so good and so special and loves us so much that He could make it exactly like before. So that's the basic thing that they could be told to understand. The next thing that they have to be brought into is that in order for us to deserve this, we have to try. Our trying is called doing tshuva. We have to try. So you could help the child, a 7-year-old could understand this. Think, did you make any mistakes? And you could help them if you have a good relationship and you could keep a smile on your face. Then you could even bring him back to some mistakes that could be corrected. Remember when Bubby came and we were all sitting at the table drinking, and she was drinking coffee and cake, and you ate her cake? That was a mistake, because that was Bubby's cake. So if she looked, she may have felt bad. But you know what? There's something you do to make her feel only good. What's that? I'll call her later today, and you'll say, sorry, I ate the cake. And Bubby will say, great. And then Hashem will make it so it's as though you never ate the cake at all. Okay, now, you obviously have to get Bubby involved in this so she could be effusive enough. But you could do this. If a child has something serious that needs to be fixed, children this age sometimes steal, for instance. By telling them how good they are and how much Hashem wants to help them, you could get a kid to do tshuva. You could not only introduce them to the concept, but you could make it happen. So again, the key here is telling them how good they are and how much Hashem wants to help them. Masa Shahaya. In a certain cheder, a child right in this age group. A child, lived his fantasy. His fantasy was buying enough garbage food, junk food, to be able to give like lots of treats to his whole class. This was his dream. So this dream was like, lying somewhere in his head for who knows how long. Then you could ask yourself, why did he want that much? Does he have low self-esteem? Doesn't he? Put that away. That's not part of the story. In any case, the teacher in the class went out of the room for a moment, probably to use the facilities or something, and he left his wallet on the table. Now, in his absence, the kids were getting out of their seats, walking around. He was back in a few minutes. He didn't notice it at the time, but he was missing 100 shekel. The hero of our story, the little boy, went the next day. He hid the 100 shekel somewhere. His parents didn't find it. Went to the store, and he bought 100 shekels worth of junk food. Now this is a frum storekeeper. So I want you to see in your mind's eye the student, a little bit older, a Moroccan, a heart as big as all outdoors, good guy, simple. He figures out nobody sends a kid with no list to buy junk food, especially since he can't decide what he wants. That didn't happen. No adult sent him. This is not somebody making a party, sending a kid to the store. This is a kid who got a hold of 100 shekels. So when he came to finishing up his payment, the storekeeper said, where'd you get that 100 shekels? Nobody gave you 100 shekels. And he said things that no one should say. This guy did not study psychology, but he said all the wrong things. He said, Atarasha, Ataganav, you're a thief, you're a wicked person. The kid began to cry. The kid was so scared of the storekeeper that he admitted he took it from school. Okay, so the storekeeper actually got someone to stand behind the counter for a few minutes on his behalf and walked the kid across the street to the school. And this is why I said this guy, his heart's in the right place. He may have said the wrong things, but heart's in the right place. He brings the kid to the principal's office and pretty unceremoniously announced what had happened and left. The kid's scared stiff. What is he scared of? This is what I want you to hear. What is he scared of? He's only afraid of punishment at this point. He's in big, big trouble. Okay, he has to face up to the principal. This is terribly embarrassing. Maybe they're going to call mommy and maybe even Abba. And this is scary stuff. And the Rebbe from the class. And, who knows, maybe he thought he would go to jail. He was scared, okay? And it's not so unhealthy. But I want to tell you what happens next, which is the part that has to do with chinuch. None of this was chinuch. It might have been necessary, it might have even been appropriate, but it's not real chinuch. I want to tell you what real chinuch is. The Rebbe came into the room. He said, what? Danny? But you're such a good boy. Remember last week we were having the Shmirat HaLashon quiz and you knew all the answers. Danny, you're such a good boy. You're so good. How did this happen? I don't know how this happened to you. Remember how you helped the new boy when he came into the class? How you let him use your things? Now by this time, Dani is pouring buckets of tears. That's tshuva. Tshuva is that this Rebbe was able to touch the place where the kid wants to be good. Now the other part is necessary. I'm not saying that it's not necessary, but it's not chinuch. There's a difference between training and chinuch. You could train an elephant to do a pirouette. You do this by reward and punishment. I once actually read a book about how they do. Okay, I read all sorts of things about how they train dogs to dance. Bears in Russia. What they do is, it's so horrific. They put coals on the floor. So to get the bear to learn the dance step, he's basically avoiding burning his feet, burning his claws. So he learns the steps and then he's rewarded, but it's to avoid pain. This is how you train someone. Training is not chinuch. Chinuch means internally the person wants to be good and not be bad. It becomes part of them. This Rebbe was a mechanich. Okay, did he need the other part to happen? Yes, that had to happen also. Ideally, the ideal way for this to have been resolved would have been somehow that the Rebbe would find out, make the child find the place where he wants to be good, and make the child return the goodies to the store and give him back the money. But that isn't what happened in this story. And the story is true, so I can't even fix it up. Okay, so moving back to our own chinuch of children for Yom Kippur, you have to try to touch the place in them where they want to be good, where they want to fix things and help them fix it. You have to assure them that every single person makes mistakes. You could even give them examples of mistakes that were made by you or other people they admired that were fixed. That's very important. So saying, for instance, I was so angry when I saw the Ozeret broke our new expensive toaster oven that I yelled at her even though you were in the room. I shouldn't have yelled, and I should have said to her quietly all of the things I said, because I want to be a good person and I want to understand that she didn't mean to break it on purpose. She just was careless, and I want to be the kind of person who could forgive someone who's careless and understand them. So you know what I did? I called her up later in the day, and you could only say this obviously if this is true. And I said to her, you know, I feel sorry that I yelled at you. I lost my temper. It's not worth it. Please, please forgive me. So you could dig out something like that, but the important thing is that they see that you acted on it, not just that you were wrong. If you just tell them things that you did wrong, then all that achieves is making being wrong okay, and you're losing respect in their eyes. Okay, so you could make them understand tshuva. The next thing you have to make them understand is that, again, Hashem is the only one who could make things look the way they were before. We can't do it. We could fix it, but again, it's like the pencil on the paper. When you still see the erasure marks, the paper's not new. Only Hashem could do it. This is why we go to shul. This is why we daven a lot. We ask for Hashem's rachmanis, and He wants us to be there. So it helps to tell any one of the stories. There are many stories that work on the theme of the son who returned. So I'm going to give you one version of it, but there are a lot of versions of it. So you have to use, again, imagery is what will make the children feel something. So you have to use a lot of imagery. Okay, there was a king, and the king had a son, and he loved his son so much that every day he would tell his son, one day you'll be king, and I'm going to teach you what you need to be a good king. So he would teach him how to judge people justly, and he would teach him how to protect his country, and everybody loved the prince. And the prince had a friend. The friend was bad. The friend was jealous of the prince. So he wanted the prince to not be so beloved. So he had a very bad idea because he was a bad person. He got the prince to learn to do bad things. So when the king would say, here's how to judge your people justly, he would say, why do you have to listen to him? Do what you want. Until finally the prince did so many bad things that the king began to think, how will he ever be a king? And you would have to give examples of what the prince did. Till finally, one day, the king said, I'll have to find somebody else. Because you can't rule the people if you're angry and unjust. And they don't look up to you because of the bad things they've done. So I want you to stay somewhere else for a while. And maybe things will change. So he takes his trusted servant, the king's trusted servant, and again you could draw this out, somebody old and somebody wise and somebody who loves both the king and the son. And he takes the son to a special place far away where his job is to be away from the bad friend and maybe change. And one day, the best thing that ever happened to the king happened. What's that? The trusted servant returns, and here's the prince, and he's changed, and now he wants to be good. And the king is so happy to see him, and the prince is so happy to make his father proud of him. And everybody is very happy. Okay, so again, you could fill in the stories with imaginary examples of what the son did that was wrong and why it was so bad. It has to fit the child's age and what their understanding is. So for one child, it could be stealing from a poor child some object that the prince wanted, even though he has plenty and the poor child had nothing. The icker is that you have to make it clear that the prince, because of the influence of the bad friend, is doing things that are really, really bad. Okay. But the stress of the story is the joy of the return. So this is what you have to get across. The moment of the return where the prince said, I used to do this and I used to do that, but no more. Now everything's going to be different. That's what vidui is. So you have to tell, this is what we say, Hashem, we used to do this and we used to do that. And you can even read children of this age some of the vidui, not all of the vidui. You have to be discerning. And say, the child may say, and throw in a few things that nobody who they know would do. Say, but we don't do this, but you know what? All Am Yisrael are like Hashem's children, so we all say this together. So now the kid understands Yom Kippur. So this should have two hashpa'ot. One is that the child, and at this age you can take the child to shul very briefly. I'm no great chassid of taking children to shul at all, or for certainly not for long amounts of time. Unless you have some way in which it could be a pleasant experience for them and an experience in which other people in the congregation aren't disturbed, like if there's a play area outside. But you could take the child to shul for some amount of time, long enough for them to see vidui, long enough maybe to see the bowing in the avoda. The idea being that we're coming back to Hashem like this child, and Hashem loves us so much that He's going to make everything different. It's good for children to be in shul for that very last shofar blowing, where they could say, and now we won. And you know who the enemy was? That bad friend. And you know who that bad friend is? That's the Yetzer Hara. No more. We're starting all over again. Now we may make mistakes, but at least now, everything is clean and good. So you could include the child in the process, again, through bringing them to shul or telling them about shul. There are a lot of picture books now that show what goes on in shul. Okay, you could read them some of the vidui. You could also talk to them about all of the halachas. Okay, meaning they probably would have learned about the inuyim in school. Okay. The fasting, I mean, obviously they don't know about all of the inuyim, but the fasting, the no leather shoes, So all of this is to make us like when we come back to Hashem like the Malachim, we're so good, we're so holy, more than ordinary people. Let's move up. Children from around 10 to 14, okay, could be brought into the picture more. So what's your goal? Children of this age, okay, the earlier part of this age, 10, 11, 12 even, are too shallow to be able to be really there in the shul all day, even if they're physically there. So what you have to do is, again, there are very good books about the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. There are a lot of cassette tapes on it. It's worth it for them to know the Avodah because they like technical information at this age and because it'll hold them a little bit more if they're going to be in shul for many hours. Okay, there's a cassette tape called Mare Kohen. I think that they have it in English as well. There are books that are put out by Machon HaMikdash. Very beautiful illustrations. The text is not important for our purposes at this age, unless you have a child who really will get into it. What's more important than the text is the pictures. If you have a child who's bright enough for the text and who likes the information, by all means, go for it. But the main thing is for the child to see that the Avodah is something meaningful, something good, and something led to Kapara on the terms that we spoke about when we spoke about how little children could understand Kapara. Older children also could learn about the importance, again, of doing their side of it. So you have to be able to say to this older child, in a way in which, again, you're telling them how good they could be, not how bad they were. That's very important. You know, you and Yankee fight all the time. You know that's true. Do you like it? So odds are what you'll hear is, no, but he's so stupid, and he's so this, and he's so that. And like, you know, it's not my fault, it's all his fault. I mean, the child will put it nicer than that, but that basically is what he'll say. And just hear it. Don't say, okay, because again, your goal isn't to tell him how bad he is, it's to tell him how good he wants to be. So you have to have a concrete way of saying, but you know, it could be better. It could be better. Let's talk about how it could be better. Maybe, and you have to have very concrete ideas, maybe it would be good for you and good for him if you decided no more hitting. That means he can't be your melech. If he hits you, you don't have to hit him back. You decide what you want to do. He's not your melech. You're your melech. You decide. Do you want to be the kind of person who hits, or you don't want to be the kind of person who hits? Maybe you want to just walk away from him. Maybe there are reasons that he feels bad about you. Maybe you could fix them. If you're skilled enough and willing enough, you could sometimes fix things that are, you could get the child to do tshuva. It's possible. It's good for children this age to be in shul, even if they're not really there, b'levu v'nefesh, if they'll tolerate being there, because the service itself is very moving, and it gets them where they have to go. If they need breaks, and certainly the 10, 11-year-old have to eat, okay, then you have to see that they have the breaks. You have to try to see that they don't leave Yom Kippur too much during their breaks. In other words, long unsupervised time, hours and hours of unsupervised time, is asking them to do bad things on Yom Kippur. So you have to sacrifice your own presence in shul to see that when you take them home for lunch, either if they're the kind who would like to be in shul that they come back, or that they're busy doing things that aren't destructive. But you're saying, be good, I'll be back after Musaf, is not a smart thing to do. Okay, it's good because, again, they can't be there oftentimes with girls to get them to babysit. It's good for them to babysit for other people so that the other people can go to shul if they want to. But it's also good for the girl to be busy. It's good for her to be doing something that's a mitzvah in a certain sense. Now, oftentimes the babysitters are paid, which is fine. But sometimes it causes the girls to take on more children than they could watch. Stay on top of this. You don't want an 11-year-old girl watching 10 kids, or 8 kids, or even 6 kids. Okay, unless she's unless she has an assistant and an adult who's supervising to some degree. So you have to be careful, but it's good for them to be busy doing good things. With boys, it's more complicated because they really do belong in shul. They really aren't mature enough to be there. I'm talking about 10, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds even. And officially telling them that they could hang out and do nothing isn't a good idea. But suggesting that they take a nap or help out with the babysitting is better, but you have to have supervision. Bigger kids, even though they're not really there, a 12-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy are usually not really there, but they want to be there. So they want to be there, they want to be part of the tzibur, they want this for themselves, but they aren't there yet. So make the transition as easy as you can by seeing that they have some understanding of what's going on and that you give them a lot of kavod for being there. Okay, Mitzvah Yom Kippur is a problematic time. You'd be surprised how problematic. Okay, the kids haven't been given the same level of attention that they're used to, or that they wish that they were used to, but in any case, they're usually a bit crazed out, especially if you were bribing them with junk food, which is fine, but expect them to be crazed out. You may be exhausted from the fasting. Your husband may also be, he may be coming home like on a spiritual high and come down to everybody crazed out. Or he may come home also exhausted from the fasting. Plan it. Plan that Yom Kippur, especially since it ends early, will be a high night, Mitzvah Yom Kippur that is, will be a highly structured time. You have to make the food before, make it the day before, don't start cooking then. See that the kids eat early. Younger kids, see, even if it's hard for you and you're tired, try to get them in bed. Try to have it be a peaceful, nice time. Getting older kids, if this is what you're doing, involved in the sukkah is a good evening activity. Decorations, which means you would have had to buy the stuff beforehand, or helping Abba with the actual building. Okay, but try to see that the spirit of Yom Kippur moves organically into Mitzvah Yom Kippur, which requires planning. Let's talk about Sukkot. So Sukkot is a very easy holiday, chinuch-wise. It couldn't be easier because the kids understand it. Yes, Hashem watched us, and we were in special houses. And what did we eat in the desert? We ate man far out. No cooking, no dishes. Okay, they understand this. So the main idea you have to get across to them on Sukkot is how much Hashem loves us. So you try to get them to like the sukkah. One of the ways to get kids to like the sukkah is by having them decorate. But when they decorate, sometimes the act of decorating takes on its own energy. So try to make it for the sukkah, it's the kavod, the shechina, it's because the place is kadosh, give them a lot of kavod, give them material rewards for making the decorations, if that's good. Okay, now, if you're from one of the communities that don't decorate, try to get it across to them nonetheless. Help, let them help put up the sheets, whatever you do. Okay, the Arba Minim. So very young children are not going to understand the Arba Minim. But what you could say is they're all different. See, they're all different. That's because Hashem helps us in a lot of ways, and He made different people, and all the different people love Hashem. Okay, that much they can get. Little kids like memorization, as you know. There are a lot of good cassette tapes. Memorizing the names of the Arba Minim is something that they'll like. There are a lot of rhymes that you could do with this. So now we have the Sukkah and the Minim. Okay, bigger kids. Bigger kids should understand the Kedusha of the Arba Minim, the extraordinary Kedusha of the Sukkah. You could, those of you who have some Hebrew, if you can get Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg's drushes for yourself, but also simplify what he says for the kids about the love we have towards Hashem, Hashem's love towards us, the encompassing nature of the Shechina, Hashem Hu Elokim, that he's with us in every possible way of being. Okay, all of this should be part of your discourse. The stories you tell should be stories with bitachon as a theme, because what Sukkos is about is how much Hashem loves us and protects us. So you could talk about Hashem himself, so to speak, being our sukkah. They were always enveloped in him. So then you take out the bitachon stories. So the company, Machanayim. These are the blue, the Sipurei Tzadikim that come in the with the blue-edged books. The theme of virtually all of their stories is bitachon. So these are good stories for Sukkos. It's good to supply yourself. They're not expensive books, relatively. Supply yourself with a bunch of them. Okay, for older kids, kids who are like in mid-childhood, stories where the theme is, and we overcame the obstacles, are the good stories for them. There was this charming, charming book with something called, something like Little Soldiers. I'm not sure if that's what it was called. One of the words was soldiers, maybe young soldiers. I think it was Little Soldiers. It's about boys who did mitzvahs in Siberia, and Hashem rescued them and saved them. Some of the Lehman stories. Okay, but that should be the theme. Older kids obviously need more sophisticated discourse about bitachon. A big problem on Sukkos is what to do on Chol HaMoed. I'm so spoiled, I'm in Eretz Yisrael. So getting the kids to hang out in the Old City, go to the Kotel one day, walk the walls another day, Birkat Kohanim's another day. They have these free tours of the Muslim quarter. It's easy. It's no sweat for them to be in Kedusha the whole Chol HaMoed. Now, after a while, if they've already been on the same, they've done the same thing year after year, they want something else. So again, it's easy. Take them to friends, take them to relatives. In Chutz Laaretz, it's a killer, because there's no Makomos Kedoshim to take them to. And they want to, it's family time, it's vacation. This is the time when you draw close to each other. So people who go to all sorts of amusements, at least try to keep them pure, at least try to keep them innocent. So visiting Hershey's Chocolate Factory or the equivalent of something like that, that may be what you have to do, because you have to keep them busy and you have to spend time with them. And there may not be anything else you could figure out on doing. And some kids in Israel also, if you're not in Yerushalayim, you may have to take them to a nature resort. At least try to keep the discourse going. Make a point of this that, it's special, it's time together, it's Sukkos, we're here together because Hashem made it that we could be together, He protected us all of the years. Let that at least flow through. Certainly don't go for the highly compromised stuff. It's not a good idea to do this ever, but certainly not on Chol HaMoed, with the Kedusha of Chol HaMoed. Certainly not anything objectionable. Certainly not anything iffy. Now, if you have teenagers, I've been avoiding teenagers, by the way, today. If you have teenagers, you have to think a lot before Sukkos about how they're going to be busy. So again, in Yerushalayim, there's Simchas Beis HaShoeva every night. There are usually people to hang out with. In Chutz Laaretz, it's much more challenging. Try to find out where the Simchas are taking place. Try to keep them busy and happy. Buy them new music. If there are appropriate things for them to see, whatever it is, do what's appropriate that'll keep them busy and happy. Okay. With Yom Kippur and teenagers, I want to take a step back. They know all the basic information. What you have to do with the teenagers in general, and this isn't just Yom Kippur, is every way you can, show them that you believe in them. Show them that you believe in them and that you know that they make mistakes and you make mistakes, and their Yom Kippur will have meaning. That's the key. So young teenagers, even, if they have good language skills, could read the translations of Vidui, where Vidui is written over into English, possibly with details and examples. If they're Hebrew speakers, or if Strive for Truth features the Vidui translated with Rav Dessler's editions, that would be good for them as well. Sukkot is the time of love. Okay, do everything you can with teenagers to make them feel beloved, important. Okay, give them enough freedom to choose what they're doing if you could trust them. And if not, you have to go to places that may not interest you so much to see that your teenagers are in line. Have a great Yom Tov.